Hi, I'm Ryan Lee. Thanks for listening to KZZH. Welcome once again to the Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson Radio Hour. This unique and extraordinary book, written by G.I. Gurdjieff, is a thought-provoking story told by Beelzebub to his grandson Hossein as they travel through space on the spaceship Karnak towards Beelzebub's home planet, Karatas. When we left off last time, we were just ready to start Chapter 47, The Inevitable Result of Impartial Mentation. After their long journey, Beelzebub and Hossein are about to return, finally, to Karatas. Beelzebub intended to say more, but just then everything was suddenly lit up with a pale blue something. From that moment, the falling of the ship Karnak began to diminish perceptibly in speed. All this meant that one of the great cosmic Egolionoptes was about to come alongside the spaceship Karnak. And indeed, through the transparent outer parts of the ship Karnak, the source of that pale blue something soon became visible, which lit up not only the whole of the interior of the ship Karnak, but also all the space of the universe surrounding this great cosmic Egolionopti as far as the ordinary vision of beings could reach. Of these great Egolionoptes, there are only four in the universe, and each of them is under the jurisdiction of one of the four all-quarters maintainers of the universe. A hurried and anxious commotion began among all of the beings aboard, and in a short time, all the passengers and the crew assembled in the main hall situated in the center of the ship. Each of them bore a branch of myrtle in one hand and a dev del castro in the other. When the great cosmic Egolionopti had come alongside the ship Karnak, certain parts of the latter were moved apart in a special way, and there passed from the Egolionopti into the main hall of the ship a procession composed of several archangels and a multitude of angels, cherubim, and seraphim, and they all too bore branches in their hands, but of palm. At the head of this procession walked a venerable archangel, and after him two cherubim followed solemnly, bearing a casket from which something also radiated, but this time something orange. In front of everyone in the main hall on the ship Karnak stood Beelzebub, and behind him were ranged his kinsmen and the captain of the ship, and all the others stood behind them at a respectful distance. When the said procession from the Egolionopti neared the beings of Beelzebub's nature who were assembled in expectation, they halted, and all of both forces, differently natured three-brain beings, joined together in singing the hymn to our endlessness, which hymn is always sung on such occasions everywhere in the universe, by beings of all natures and of all forms of exterior coating. This hymn consists of the following words. Thou long-patient creator of all that breathes, thou abundantly loving cause of all that exists, thou unique vanquisher of the merciless Herapass, now to the sounds of our glorifying, only rejoice and abide in beatitude. By thy unprecedented labors thou hast given us the beginning of our arisings. By thy vanquishing of the Herapass have we attained the possibility of perfecting ourselves to the sacred Anklad. And now only rest as merited, and we in gratitude will maintain all that thou hast created, and always and in all things will extol thee forever. Extol thee, Maker Creator, thou the beginning of all ends, thou proceeding from infinity, thou, having the end of all things within thyself, thou, our endless endlessness. When the hymn had been sung, the venerable archangel approached Beelzebub and solemnly proclaimed, by the decree of his all-quarters maintainer, the arch-cherub Pesht Vogne, and bearing his own sacred rod, we appear before you, your right reverence, in order to restore to you, in accord with the pardon granted you from above, and for certain of your merits, what you lost during your exile, your horns. Having said this, the venerable archangel turned toward the casket borne by the cherubim, and with profound reverence carefully took from it the sacred rod. Meanwhile, all those present knelt down on one knee, while the angels and cherubim began to sing the appropriate sacred canticles. Taking the sacred rod in his hand, the archangel turned again towards Beelzebub and spoke thus to the beings of Beelzebub's nature. Beings created by our same unibeing endlessness, who has pardoned this once erring being Beelzebub, who, by the infinite grace of our Creator, will again exist among you, beings like himself. As the virility and degree of reason of beings of your nature are defined and manifested by the horns on your head, we must, with the permission of our all-quarters maintainer, and with your help, restore the horns lost by Beelzebub. Beings created by our one common Father, your aid will consist in this, that each of you should consent to renounce, for Beelzebub's merited pardon, certain particles of your own horns. Whosoever, therefore, consents and wishes to do so, let him approach the sacred rod and touch its handle, and on the length of time the handle of the sacred rod is held will depend the amount of active elements passing from your own horns for the formation of the corresponding horns on this pardoned being of your nature. Having said this, the venerable archangel, holding the chief end of the sacred rod, that is, the ball, over the kneeling Beelzebub, turned the handle towards those there assembled in such a way that whoever wished might touch it. As soon as the venerable archangel had finished speaking, a very great commotion began among the beings of Beelzebub's nature, each desiring to approach nearer and to be the first to touch the sacred rod with their hands as long as possible. Order, however, was soon established, and each then in turn approached and held the handle for as long as was indicated by the captain of the ship, who had taken upon himself the necessary direction. During the solemn, sacred action, horns, little by little, began to grow upon the head of Beelzebub. At first, while just the bare horns were being formed, only a concentrated quiet gravely prevailed among those assembled. But from the moment that forks began to appear upon the horns, a tense interest and rapt attention began to be manifested among them. This latter state proceeded among them because everybody was agitated by the wish to learn how many forks would make their appearance on Beelzebub, since by their number the gradation of reason to which Beelzebub had attained according to the sacred measure of reason would be defined. First one fork formed, then another, and then a third. And as each fork made its appearance, a clearly perceptible thrill of joy and unconcealed satisfaction proceeded among all those present. As the fourth fork began to be formed on the horns, the tension among those assembled reached its height, since the formation of the fourth fork on the horns signified that the reason of Beelzebub had already been perfected to the sacred ternunald, and hence that there remained for Beelzebub only two gradations before attaining to the sacred unclad. When the whole of this unusual ceremony neared its end, and before all those assembled had had time to recover their self-possession from their earlier joyful agitation, there suddenly and unexpectedly appeared on the horns of Beelzebub, quite independently, a fifth fork of a special form known to them all. Thereupon all, without exception, even the venerable archangel himself, fell prostrate before Beelzebub, who had now risen to his feet and stood transfigured with a majestic appearance owing to the truly majestic horns which had arisen on his head. All fell prostrate before Beelzebub because by the fifth fork on his horns it was indicated that he had attained the reason of the sacred padkulad, i.e., the last gradation before the reason of the sacred unclad. The reason of the sacred unclad is the highest to which in general any being can attain, being the third in degree from the absolute reason of his endlessness himself. But the reason of the sacred padkulad, to which Beelzebub had already perfected himself, is also very rare in the universe. Hence even the venerable archangel prostrated himself before Beelzebub, because his own degree of reason was as yet only that of the sacred degendad, i.e., wanting 3 degrees to the reason of the sacred unclad. When all had risen to their feet, the venerable archangel, addressing this time all the assembled beings of various natures, proclaimed, "Beings created by one Creator, we have all just become worthy to be the first to behold the final formation of the appearance of that which is the dream, both of all those present and of the beings in general, of the whole of our great megalocosmos. And now let us all together exult and rejoice over such a worthiness, which is for us such a revivifying shock for our ability to struggle against our own denying source, which ability alone can lead us to that sacred Padkulad attained by one of the sons of our common father, who although he first transgressed on account of his youth, yet afterwards was able by his conscious labors and intentional sufferings to become worthy with his essence to be one of the very rare sacred individuals of the whole of our great universe." After this proclamation of the archangel, all the beings without exception present on the spaceship Karnak then began to sing the prescribed sacred canticle entitled, "I Rejoice." And when this last sacred canticle also had been sung, all the angels and cherubim, with the venerable archangel at their head, returned to the cosmic Egolianopti, which then left the ship Karnak and disappeared gradually into space, whereupon the passengers and crew began to disperse to their places, and the Karnak resumed its falling towards its destination. After the termination of the most great universal solemnity just described, Beelzebub with his grandson and his old servant Ahun, deeply moved like all of the other passengers of the spaceship Karnak by this unexpected event, returned to that part of the ship where all their talks proceeded concerning the men-beings arising and existing on the Earth. When Beelzebub, now with a transfigured appearance corresponding to his merits and visible to all, had occupied his usual place, Ahun, his old servant, who had been close to him during almost the whole of his existence, unexpectedly fell prostrate before him, and in a sincerely entreating voice began to speak, "Sacred Padkulad of our great megalocosmos, have mercy upon me and pardon me, an unfortunate, ordinary, three-centered being, for my past disrespectful manifestations, voluntary and involuntary, towards your sacred essence. Have mercy and pardon me, just this three-centered being who, though he has existed a very long time, yet to his misfortune, only because in his preparatory age nobody aided the crystallization in him of the data for the ability of intensively actualizing being park dog duty, had until now been so short-sighted that he had been unable to sense the reality present